Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August evenings. Before you head out, grab a blanket, a folding chair, or one of those reclining loungers so that you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take along a long-sleeve shirt or a light jacket, too, in case it gets cool. And find a spot that's far away from bright lights, with a clear view all around the horizon. If you go out early in the month, the moon will be up in the sky after sunset. As the moon circles Earth, sunlight reflects off its surface from different angles and causes the cycle of phases we see each month. The moon is new on August 1st, and on that day a total solar eclipse occurs along a narrow path that crosses the eastern hemisphere. Unfortunately, we in the West are out of luck. The moon gets to first quarter, meaning it's a quarter of the way around in its orbit, on the 8th, and full moon follows on the 16th. On that night, there's a deep partial lunar eclipse, but again, we Americans will miss out. Darn. After that, the moon slips out of the evening sky. Last quarter falls on the 23rd, and the next new moon will be on the 30th. By going out at the same time each night, which sidesteps the effects of Earth's rotation, you'll see that the moon moves eastward in the sky from one night to the next. That eastward movement demonstrates the moon's motion in its orbit around our world. And to understand how the moon's phases are related to this orbital motion, all you need is a ping pong ball or a golf ball. Head outside about an hour before sunset, around the time of first quarter moon, anytime, say, between August 5th and 10th. Now hold the ball up at arm's length right beside the moon. Notice how the ball shows exactly the same phase as the moon? Both the ball and the moon are being illuminated by the sun from the same direction, and you see them as partly sunlit and partly in shadow, with their bright and dark portions mimicking each other perfectly. If the weather stays clear, repeat this observation on the next several late afternoons. Each day the moon's orbital motion has carried it farther east, and the sunlit portion of its disk has grown larger. Hold your ball up near the moon and you'll see that its phase has thickened too. Right now there are two bright planets in the evening sky, but Venus, although incredibly bright, will be really tough to spot. That's because it's very low in the west after the sun sets. It'll be a little easier to find by month's end, but you'll still need to have a completely clear western horizon to spot it. The other bright planet is Jupiter, and it's a snap to find. Just note where the sun went down, then turn completely around to the left. You'll see a star not far above the southeast horizon, brighter than any other in the sky. That's Jupiter. Back on July 9th, the king of planets reached opposition, the point in the sky opposite the sun. It rose as the sun set. Each night afterward, Jupiter has been inching a little higher in the evening sky as darkness falls. If you have a small telescope, or even binoculars held very steady, you'll see Jupiter as a small disk, like a miniature full moon, with a string of stars on a line to either side of it. Those are the planet's four largest satellites. Okay, back to the big picture. Hold your arm out and clench your fist. Now shift your gaze by the width of about three fists to the right of Jupiter and look for a moderately bright star. That's Antares, the reddish heart of the constellation Scorpius. If your southern horizon is completely clear, you might be able to make out the rest of this nasty critter. The head is a little to the right, marked by a vertical row of three stars. The body swings down to the lower left, through Antares, and curves up at the end with the stinger. The whole thing might remind you of a question mark lying on its side. Now turn again to your left, so that the sunset point is behind you, and look up, way up, for a big triangle of three stars. The highest and brightest one, almost overhead, is called Vega. To its lower left is the star Deneb, and to its lower right is Altair. This distinctive trio is known as the Summer Triangle. If your skies are really dark, without much light pollution or moonlight, you'll see the faint band of the Milky Way running from Deneb past Altair and down to the lower right toward the constellation Scorpius. This glow is from the countless faint stars that mark the disk of our home galaxy. In fact, the word galaxy comes from a Greek phrase, galaxias kouklos, which means circle of milk. One of the things I look for every August is a burst of shooting stars from the Perseid meteor shower. During a meteor shower, you'll typically see more shooting stars than normal because Earth is crossing the orbit of a comet and plowing through a cloud of particles shed by that comet all along its orbit. In the case of the Perseids, the comet is called Swift-Tuttle. Over the centuries, all the particles shed by this particular comet have become scattered along its orbit, and every August, we plow right through them. So why do astronomers call this shower the Perseids and not the Swift-Tuttleids? That's because the meteors you'll see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of the constellation Perseus. This year, the Perseids will be at their peak before dawn on Tuesday, August 12th. The later you stay up on the 11th, the more meteors you should see. You can start looking for meteors around 11 p.m. on Monday night, after Perseus has risen in the northeast. But those zippy little shooting stars will be competing with the moon until it sets around 1 or 2 a.m. That bright moonlight will wash out most of the meteors. Even so, occasionally a bright, streaky Perseid will burn right through a moonlit sky. While you're waiting for those Perseids, grab a pair of binoculars to look at the moon or Jupiter, or poke around the sky to the lower right of Jupiter in the constellation Sagittarius. Sagittarius is in the direction of the heart of the Milky Way galaxy, and you'll be surprised how many star clusters and glowing nebulas you can turn up just by carefully sweeping that part of the sky. Next month, we'll pay a state visit to Cassiopeia, queen of the late summer sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.